Hi again, Stephen Bruce here with another of our research reviews brought to us courtesy of the Research Review Service, and this one written by Dr. Dimitri Asimakopoulos. Now, this is quite a topical one because this paper is about the effect of taping on spinal pain and disability. It's a systematic review and a meta-analysis of randomised trials. There's a number of authors, the lead one being C. Vanti, and affiliations declared as being the University of Bologna in Italy and the George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. And none of the authors have declared any interest in any competing organisation, so we have to assume that they are unbiased in what they've done. Now, the background to this, as we all know, is that tape is often used in rehab and in manual therapy to treat a wide variety of musculoskeletal disorders. And there are several types of tape which are available. And the authors have generalised these into two major categories. On the one hand, they've looked at the non-elastic rigid tape, and on the other, they've looked at what they call elastic taping. And type one, the non-elastic types, are thought to enhance joint support, increase joint proprioception, and to restrict movement. While on the other hand, the elastic tape is purported to support fascia, muscles, and joints, also to enhance proprioception, but also to decrease pain and inflammation. Now, although there is a form of elastic tape, elastic adhesive bandage, which we've been using for years as part of a normal sports taping protocol, I think what we can assume here fairly safely is that the authors are using elastic taping as an all-embracing title to encompass what we might call K-tape. They will be trying to avoid the proprietary terms of kinesio tape or rock tape, of course. What the authors have pointed out is that despite its popularity, the actual evidence in favour of K-tape, elastic tape, is pretty thin on the ground. And they went out and performed a systematic review to determine the effectiveness of various taping methods in decreasing spinal pain and disability. So how did they go about this? What they did was to search through a number of databases, the standard range, for studies that evaluated the effect of taping on decreasing pain and disability in individuals with spinal pain, and spinal pain alone, remember. The published RCTs comparing either elastic or non-elastic taping to a control or comparison group were included, and the studies included symptomatic adults of 18 years or older, diagnosed with acute, meaning less than 1 month pain, subacute, 1 to 3 months, or chronic, greater than 3 months, specific or non-specific spinal pain. They also included myofascial pain syndrome or whiplash-associated disorder. And the methodological quality of each study was assessed using the Pedro scale, and anything over 6 out of 10 was considered high quality. The clinical relevance of the study was assessed using a series of questions. First of all, were the patient characteristics and treatment settings described well enough to determine whether they were comparable to those in a clinical setting? Second, are these interventions described well enough to enable a clinician to use them clinically? And third, were clinically relevant outcomes measured? For example, minimal clinically important difference for each measurement scale. And then they gauge the overall quality of this evidence as either high, moderate, or low, or very low, using a grade approach which includes the design limitations, the Pedro score, results in consistency, and in precision, and so on. Calls were included for review, given the paucity of evidence overall for taping. These included a total of 409 patients, the range being 20 to 148 patients per study. And there were 5 different areas which they managed to examine. The first of these was to look at elastic taping compared to either sham, placebo, or no treatment for patients with low back pain. They had 4 studies which were judged as being homogeneous, and they did a meta-analysis on these studies only. The effect size for elastic taping versus sham and so on was very small and insignificant. They did find a medium and significant effect size in one study which assessed lumbar spinal pain 1 month after intervention. A second study, which looked at pain 2 months after treatment, showed a small and insignificant effect size. 4 high-quality studies on the Pedro scale assessed disability immediately after treatment, and overall the effect size of elastic taping against the others was small and was not significant. And using the grade criteria, there's only very low quality evidence that elastic taping reduces pain at 1 or 2 months follow-up compared to either sham or placebo or even no treatment at all. There was one study which assessed disability 1 month after intervention. The effect size was small when the disability was assessed using the Oswestry Disability Index and very small when using the Roland Morris Disability Questionnaire. In the study that assessed disability 2 months after intervention, the effect size was very small and insignificant. So, generally, there is only low quality evidence according to the grade criteria. The next category they looked at was to compare non-elastic taping against placebo for low back pain. And they had one high-quality study assessing pain immediately after treatment and at 1 month follow-up. The effect size of taping against placebo was medium and significant in the immediate post-treatment period, but small and insignificant at 1 month follow-up. So again, there's low-quality evidence according to the grade criteria. One high-quality study assessed disability immediately after treatment and at 1 month follow-up, and the effect size of taping against placebo was medium but non-significant in the immediate post-treatment period and small and insignificant at 1 month follow-up. So low-quality evidence exists according to the grade criteria once again. Turning to neck pain, they found one study which compared elastic taping against placebo for people suffering from whiplash-type neck pain. And this study looked at pain immediately after treatment, and the effect size compared to placebo was large and significant. Using the grade criteria, then, there is low-quality evidence from one trial alone showing that elastic taping decreases pain immediately after treatment compared to placebo in whiplash-associated disorder. Now, the authors found two studies which compared elastic taping against no treatment for patients with specific neck pain, meaning cervical disc herniation, radiculopathy, or spondylosis. One of these looked at pain immediately after treatment, and the effect size was medium and significant. The other again looked at disability immediately after treatment, and the effect size of taping was small and insignificant. So using the grade criteria, only low quality evidence exists there. And the final category they looked at was non-elastic taping versus no treatment for non-specific chronic neck pain. And we had one study which assessed whether pain exists and showed a small and insignificant effect size, and another study which assessed disability in the immediate post-treatment period showed only a small and again insignificant effect size. So according to the grade criteria, there is only very low quality evidence for the use of non-elastic taping in non-specific chronic neck pain. Was this a good study? Well, on the plus side, the authors did employ thorough and very demanding inclusion criteria, which probably resulted in a very limited pool of studies for them to look at. But the inclusion criteria protected the authors from including extremely low quality studies, such as case reports, case series, of which there are very many on the topic of taping, which could have influenced the results. However, in terms of weaknesses, they could only do a meta-analysis on the topic of elastic taping against low back pain, because none of the others have accumulated enough data over time. A lot of the studies didn't have a sample size greater than 50 participants, and that's kind of the minimum necessary to achieve high levels of evidence. And all of the studies failed to obtain any positive score on a therapist and or patient blinding level, because this would be impossible, of course, given the nature of the intervention. And topics such as thoracic spine pain, post-traumatic and acute specific and non-specific neck pain were not included in the analysis because there is no data on those subjects. Of course, what matters is what we conclude from that and how we can apply it all in clinic. And what we have from this is a total of 8 RCTs which met the inclusion criteria and the one meta-analysis that was performed. And this showed that in general, elastic taping doesn't significantly reduce lumbar spine pain or disability immediately after treatment by comparison with anything else. However, one single trial examining the effect of elastic taping on lumbar spine pain showed that it was effective at 1 month follow-up, but not at 2 month follow-up. And there are a few individual trials showing that elastic taping may be effective in treating acute neck pain from whiplash and specific neck pain from things such as radiculopathy. There's one low-quality trial showing that non-elastic taping effectively improves lumbar spinal pain, but neither elastic nor non-elastic taping provided significant improvements in spinal disability. So if we refer to the grade criteria, there is only very low to low quality evidence which supports taping as a spinal pain and disability remedy, and the current literature therefore does not support the use of taping as a therapeutic option for spinal conditions. Now, I'm sure that's not going to stop us using it in clinic for a number of reasons. First of all, it was comparing it against placebo in some cases, and we all know that the value of placebo is worthwhile. It may just be that having pretty coloured K-tape is a very expensive placebo. And of course, we also use K-tape and other tapes for a variety of conditions other than spinal pain, and this paper didn't cover any of those things. As always, I hope that that's been useful to you and provides some evidence to support what you are doing in clinic with your patients, and perhaps to influence the way in which you treat your low back pain and neck pain patients. By all means, download the paper from the website. There are a couple of additional references in there which you might care to look up, but most importantly, of course, it's extra evidence for your CPD record.